Okay. You wake up and you feel distant. And you realize that this distance from God is probably a culmination of weeks, months, years, days, I don't know, where you've been coasting. You know, I can imagine what it would have been like to be at a church gathering in Ephesus on a Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. I bet you saw a lot of smiling faces at the Ephesus church gathering. I bet people were really pretty jacked about how they were doing and how their church was going. And there's a lot to smile about. I bet you saw smiling faces throughout the week, sharing meals, small groups, all that stuff. And John tells us, John quotes Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and tells us some about the church in Ephesus. He says, "I know your works, your labor, your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name and have not grown weary." That's a lot to smile about. I'd be smiling if I were them. I'd be pretty jacked, pretty happy, exciting place. But then Jesus keeps going. But, and that's a big but. But what, Jesus? I thought we were doing everything good. "But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." You know, as Christians, I think we're really good at not letting people know what's really going on deep in our hearts. We're really good at smiling on Sundays. We're really good at smiling at small groups and over meals. But here's the thing, guys. We may think we're hiding it, but our fruit shows what is really happening. I got a confession for you guys. For 3.5 years of my life, and these are recent 3.5 years, this is how I lived. My goal in life was to change the perception people have of Christians. So that people would think Christians are all right. They're cool. Maybe give us a shot. I don't know. That's how I lived for 3.5 years. I was actually living my life hoping that people would believe in Jesus because of how I lived. And of course I said something every once in a while to people about Jesus. But for the most part I was expecting people to believe based on how I lived. And for the most part I was expecting people to believe without hearing. And this hit me. This past summer, it hit me like a ton of bricks hit me. Hit me like, man, like I have really missed the boat here. Because I mean, perhaps it's a blinding flash of the obvious, but people can't believe without hearing. You can't believe without hearing. It doesn't matter how cool or fun or nice or friendly or whatever you are, people can't believe in Jesus unless they hear about him. Romans 10:14-16 says this. It says, "But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without..." What's that word? Just making sure you guys are listening. How can they believe without... That's your chance. We'll do it one more time. How can they believe without hearing? There you go, about him. And how can they hear unless there is a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How welcome are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things." I think it was noble, perhaps it wasn't, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's a bad goal to try and change people's perceptions of Christians. I don't think that's a bad goal. I think that's the wrong goal to have at the top. And because of that, I was living in sin. Because my priorities were in the wrong order. This past fall, I took a course on the book of Acts. And it was a chance to really dig your fingers into this this history of the church and how the church exploded and how the Jesus movement exploded. And I'm reading the book of Acts, and there are all sorts of neat things going on and signs and wonders and all this stuff. But I can't get away from a pattern that I saw. And the pattern I saw is that belief always followed hearing. Belief always followed hearing. It wasn't belief followed signs and wonders necessarily. Those signs and wonders might have got people's attention. But it seems like belief always followed hearing the message over and over. No, you guys, I mean, my other confession is, like, I've lived my life, I've just been a people pleaser to the core. I mean, I used to work at Starbucks, and I have friends who aren't Christians, and I have friends who have friends who aren't Christians, and I'm often around people who aren't Christians, and I want to be liked. I think everyone wants to be liked. I think you guys probably want to be liked. You know, and I think that the reason that I have often been quiet in matters of faith is because I don't want to offend people. I don't want our friendship to suffer. So I would live in such a way that people would think I'm cool and maybe even think Christians are cool, but without really telling them much about why I live that way. It's like this. If I go to a restaurant and I don't hit on my waitress, it can mean a few things. The first thing it can mean is I want to be a gentleman and I want to honor my pre-wife. So it can mean that, or it could mean I have indigestion. Now, the only way for her to know is for me to tell her. The only way for her to know why I'm not making a pass at her is for me to tell her. Maybe that's a weird way of getting this point across, but the only way for people to know why you live the way you live is for you to tell them. That's it. People cannot believe without hearing. You know, I another problem. I believed a lie. The lie I believed was that the reason I'm not saying something to someone about Jesus is because I care about them and I don't want to affect our relationship. I care about them. So I don't want to change our relationship. But the truth is that I care about myself and what they think of me. Some of us need to recognize that the reason we don't share with others is because we love ourselves more. That's it. Some of us need to recognize the reason we don't share with others is because we love ourselves more. We can tell ourselves lies. We can try and convince ourselves it's otherwise. But that is the root. No, I was scared of looking foolish. I kind of had this epiphany this summer as well. I'm scared to look foolish. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells me something. It says this. I'll just put a couple highlighted verses, verse 18, 21 through 23 and 27. For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power. God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. God has chosen the world's foolish things to shame the wise, and God has chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. I was scared of looking foolish, but foolish is what I'm going to look like. That's what the scripture says. That's what it says. If we make peace with that, we are 10 steps ahead of where we were before. we will look foolish. We will. Sometimes the thing that scares me about sharing the gospel is I think that I got to convince people. I think it is my job to just say things perfectly, to say all the right words, to have this perfect presentation. And the interesting thing about perfect presentations of the gospel is if you read the book of Acts and see all these really good presentations of the gospel, people still don't believe. I am wondering this. Do I and do we believe that there's power in the gospel? Do we believe the power is in the gospel? 1 Corinthians 1:18, again, we just read it. For those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Do we believe this? Do we believe that there's something magical, mystical, I don't know what word to fill in there, about the gospel? That we just got to say it, and God uses it once it's heard and actually does the work. But in order for it to be powerful, it has to be said. We got to say it. We just got to throw it out there. We got to put it out there. We're too afraid sometimes, and I'm too afraid sometimes, to just put it out there. To just let it be the powerful thing. Not worrying about being the powerful thing on my own, but letting the gospel be the powerful thing. Sometimes we make evangelism a little too difficult. We make it way too complicated when the gospel has the power. You know, in Acts 1:8, when Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all and Samaria and to all ends of the earth. What does a witness do? If a witness is in a court, what do? They tell the court what they saw, what they experienced, what they've seen. Perhaps it's just that easy. We just got to do it. We got to tell people how Jesus is working in our lives. We just got to say it. You know, the opportunities, I think we think that they're hard to look for, and I think opportunities to share are actually pretty easy. And I'm not talking about the forced type of conversation opportunities. You guys, you know, like if someone likes basketball and two guys are sitting at a bar and grill and one guy's like, man, I just love King James. Like, he's such a great basketball player. And the other guy's like, man, Jesus is king of my life. That's just awkward. That's just plain awkward. The guy thought he was, if I were that guy, I'd be like, I thought we were talking about basketball, man. Like, we don't need to force it. There are plenty of natural opportunities. People ask, what are you doing this weekend? Going to my church gathering. What are you doing Tuesday night? I'm going to my small group. What are you doing? I'm doing this. Sometimes I find that as a Christian, I see a conversation and I see the trajectory it's going. And it's going in a spiritual direction. And it's going in a Jesus direction. And in a moment, I get to decide, like, do I continue it or do I run? Let's continue it. Let's keep it going. Let's not be afraid. Let's trust that the power is in the gospel. Let's trust that the power is not in us. Let's just keep it going. Let's look for the opportunities. You know, my future brother-in-law, Randall, I really dig him. He's a really neat guy. And he's a dad and a father of two, and my future nieces are adorable, and I'm excited about my future family. But Randall wouldn't consider himself an evangelist. Not one little bit. But we stayed up late talking one night last month, and he was telling me about his neighbors, and he lives around the Salt Lake City area. Highly predominant Mormon area. And his neighbors are like out of the LDS church, but they're just kind of hanging out. And so what did Randall and his wife do? They invite them over for dinner. They have cookouts with them. They hang out with them. If his neighbors are like, "What are you doing this weekend?" They tell him they're going to church. And then they invite him. And a few weeks ago, his neighbors said out of the blue, "We want to come." This is after several years. Perhaps it's sharing meals with people. Perhaps it's just talking about the stuff you do. Perhaps it's that easy. Randall says, "I'm just sowing seeds. I'm just sowing seeds." He says he's not an evangelist, but I'm like, ha. He talks about his in-laws and then their family who are Mormons. And he talks about, like, every once in a while he has opportunity to just say something. Just throw it out there. And he's not afraid to throw it out there. Why are we so afraid to throw some stuff out there every once in a while? And he just says something about Jesus. "I'm just sowing seeds." He says, "I'm just sowing seeds." You see, the thing about evangelism is that it is true we are sent. And it is true we are called to go. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. It says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The "go, therefore," I'm no Greek scholar, I'm just throwing that out there, but some people who are have told me, or I've heard some people who are Greek scholars tell people who have told me. Either way, it got to me that this, maybe a better translation is, "as you go." As you go, make disciples of all nations. As you are going through life. As we are going. You know, when Jesus said this, he knew that they were going to be going. Not like a going command style. A going like, they're just going to be leaving. They're going to be going. Their life is going to take them different directions. In fact, check this out. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and then verse 4. Check, persecution breaks out. It breaks out. And verse 8, the second half of it says, "All except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. So those who were scattered went on their way," as you go, "went on their way proclaiming the message of the good news." Do you catch that part of the beginning of chapter 1? Or verse 1, not chapter 1, verse 1. "All except the apostles." All except the professionals. As you are going, not the pastors, not the apostles, they're going to be going too. But as you are going, they went on their way proclaiming the message of the good news. As you're going, speaking of a lifestyle, of a routine, of a going through your day, going through your week, going through your life, as you go, as your life takes you places, as God takes you places, make disciples. Share the gospel. I want to make this intensely practical for a second. I was reading this book called Total Church. And in this book, there's a picture. And I love pictures in books. I don't know about you, but that just makes a book better all the time. But this is a picture of what Tim Chester and Steve Timmis call the three strands of evangelism. And they say that just as a rope is one rope, it has three strands. And so they talk about the three strands of evangelism as building relationships, sharing the gospel, and introducing people to community. Now, they're quick to say that this is not an order. It doesn't necessarily start with building relationships or introducing people to community or sharing the gospel. All these need to happen in any order when they need to happen. And they talk, I just wonder, what if we did this? What if we built relationships, shared the gospel, and are introducing people to community? And that community is actually a key word there. Because sometimes people need to see the gospel put on flesh and bones. And we are the body of Christ. Sometimes people need to see it lived out. People need to hear it. They need to hear it. Hear me out on this one. But sometimes they need to see it. But I'm just wondering, what if we realized that the preacher in Romans 10 is us? It's me, and it's you. It's not just the professionals. And would you watch this video clip that I have? Penn from Penn and Teller, the magicians who do lots of cool magic tricks and all that stuff. And he's an atheist, and a lot of people know it, and he's very vocal about it. But he has some stinging words in that video. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe there's everlasting life and not tell them? How much do you have to hate somebody? Who do we love? My whole premise coming into this sermon on evangelism is I don't think we don't share because we don't know how. Perhaps that's true, and if that's true of you, I'm sorry for this sermon that has not a lot of practical stuff for you. But I think we don't share because we don't care. I think we don't share because we don't care. Many of us need to wake up. We need to have that moment I'm talking about at the beginning. We need to wake up to the fact that we've been coasting. We need to wake up to the fact that we're okay with it. We need to wake up to the fact that we don't desire God. We're not excited to read the Bible. We're not excited to commune with God in prayer. We're not living with an anticipation that God has great things in store for our day. This is not okay. To coast is not okay. We're really good at smiling. And you know, there's a dead giveaway to know if you're coasting or not. There's a dead giveaway to know, if this is this true about me or is this not true about me? Look at your fruit. The proof is in the fruit. Look at your desires. Many of us make excuses about not sharing the gospel with people. You know, we lie to ourselves and we say we're not sharing because we care about them, or we say they probably already heard it before, we don't need to say anything again, or any other number of excuses. But the real reason, I think the base reason, the root reason that we're not talking to people about Jesus is because we love ourselves. And I think it's because we've forgotten our first love. Could it be we don't share because we don't love Jesus like we should? Could it be we don't share because we've forgotten what He's done for us? The lengths He went to on our behalf to reconcile us to the Father? Have we forgotten what the prophet Isaiah describes as Jesus' action on our behalf? What He foretells when He says in Isaiah 53, says He had no form or splendor that we should look at Him, no appearance we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value Him. Yet He bore our sickness. He carried our pains. But we, in turn, regarded Him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on Him, and we are healed by His wounds. all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord punished him for the iniquity of us all. We've got to remember our first love. We've got to remember what he's done for us. We got to remember it. We got to see it. We got to notice it. We got to remember. We got to see how far we've fallen. We got to see that the cause of us not sharing Jesus is perhaps mainly because we love ourselves. We got to see how far we've fallen. If we're honest, we aren't desiring God. We're not excited to pray or to read Scripture. We don't anticipate God's movement. Do we ever really give ourselves space to deal with this? I think sometimes we might hear some words every once in a while. But to really see how far we've fallen, to recognize chances are good, the reason we don't share the gospel is out of love, not for others, but for ourselves. You guys remember what it was like when you first became a Christian? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. There's a guy named Gabriel. He became a Christian. He's a foreign exchange student from Malaysia, or an international student from Malaysia, at the University of Minnesota, was a Buddhist, became a Christian this September. Awesome. He went back home over Christmas break, and we were meeting after Christmas break, just one-on-one, just catching up, talking about life. And he said, I wasn't planning on telling my friends about church or Jesus, but it just came out. It just came out. This revelation passage says to do the works you did at first. I think you do the works you did at first when you remember your first love and realize how far you've fallen. And do we believe that there's power in the gospel? The power is in the gospel. I want to spend the next few minutes to create the space to deal with this stuff. To allow the Spirit of God to speak into our hearts. To not just run away from this space and forget what God is calling us to as Christians. I think we got to pray. I think we have to pray. I think we've got to confess. We've got to remember our first love. We've got to acknowledge to God how far we've fallen. We've got to say, God, this is where I'm at right now. And then, as the Revelation passage calls the church in Ephesus to do, we've got to repent. We can no longer coast. We got to change direction. When we pray, when we confess, when we acknowledge these things to God, we have to ask God to burden us for the lost. To give us a burden for people who do not know Him. I think these are the types of prayers that God delights to answer. You guys all have that piece of paper. I'd like you to pull it out right now. It's got 3 blank slots on it. And what I want to ask you guys to do is very simple. I guess simple as it sounds, but hard. And I want to ask you guys to write down the names of 3 friends who are not Christians. 3 friends, 3 people who do not follow Jesus. And to write down their names right now. 3 people on your heart that you would like to share with who do not know Jesus. Can you just take a few minutes and write down their names right now? That's a problem. Because you're called to, you're sent. So if you're having a hard time thinking of people, that's a problem. Three names. I want to ask you guys to do this. I would like to ask you guys to commit to pray for these names every day for an indefinite period of time. I find that when I pray for people, I think about them more. I want to talk with them more. I want to spend more time with them. I have a list of 8 people. I try and pray for them regularly. I try and pray for them daily. I don't, but I try. And when I am praying for them, I'm talking to them. I'm hanging out with them. I'm thinking about how to spend time with them. And when I'm not praying for them, I'm not thinking about those things. It starts with prayer. God moves through prayer too. So I want to ask you guys to commit to pray for these names every day. And I want to ask you guys to think about the 3 strands of evangelism and commit to build relationships, share the gospel, and invite into community. That community is a key word, again. People got to see the gospel with flesh and bones. They got to see it lived out. You need to be inviting people into your friends of Christians. And if your friends of Christians aren't living like Christians, you need to tell them. You need to invite people into your community. I'm about to close up here. This community is big because this is not just your mission. And this is not just my mission. This is our mission. The church shares the mission. The church shares the mission. Let other people know in your small groups, your Christian friends, the names you're writing down so that they can pray for you too. They can pray for them too. You can encourage one another. You can build each other up. You can invite someone over together when you and your friends get together. Whatever. Let people know. The church shares the mission. I've been struck as I'm reading 1 Timothy and see that Paul talks about being entrusted with the gospel and a herald of the gospel. The gospel isn't a reality that is just true of him and his relationship with God, nor is it a reality that's just true of other people and their relationship with God, but it's something that's been entrusted to him to be a herald of. We have been entrusted. We have to see the gospel not as only a reality true of ourselves, but as something that we have to tell people. This morning was supposed to be a message about evangelism. And it is. But really it's a call to remember our first love. Because when we remember our first love, and we remember what the gospel says is true of us, we'll be witnesses. We'll be witnesses. I want you guys to bow your heads and pray. I want to just ask you guys this question. I don't even want to put it in the form of a question. I just want to encourage you guys right now to be real with the Father, to confess that we have perhaps forgotten our first love, to acknowledge how far we have gone, how far we've fallen, and to confess it to God and say, God, this is where I am. And then I want to encourage you guys to just spend some time in prayer, thinking about and praying about the 3 friends that you've written down. What if we did this? What if Emmanuel Baptist Church as a community took this challenge seriously? And don't limit it to 3, but pray for those 3. Pray for them. Let's pray. God, we acknowledge that we can say a whole bunch of things about you. We can say a whole bunch of things we believe about you. But our fruit tells our story. God, we acknowledge we have fallen far. Many of us. Many of us, it might not be into any I guess, observable sin, but it's the fact that we've fallen far because we're just coasting. We're not pursuing you. We're just okay with where we're at. We're not in love with you. Jesus, forgive us. And help us to live a lifestyle of repentance and to turn from coasting and to turn from just being complacent where we are, to turn to pursuing you, to pursuing the things of you, to remembering what you've done for us again, and to sharing that with others. God, we ask these things in your name. Amen.